Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Amen. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? All right, praise God. You could be in a lot worse place, so you should be glad to be here tonight. There's some people who wish they weren't in the places they are in. So we're definitely blessed to be here. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, I just thank you for the opportunity to minister to these people, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak through me, Father God. Lord God, I just pray that you will prepare their hearts to receive the word that you will speak to them tonight, Lord God. I pray that you will be glorified in this service, Lord God. And even as Marquise comes after me, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that you will minister through him, Lord God, so that you are ultimately glorified in this place, Father God, so that the name of Jesus is lifted up, Father God, so that people are drawn to you. So, Lord God, just have your way in this place. We love you, God. We give you the glory, and we thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, this conference has been about deliverance, freedom, and liberty. Thank you. Deliverance, freedom, and liberty. You know, there's a lot of people walking around the streets that are lacking freedom these days. They might be physically free, but they're spiritually bound. In fact, there are more people that are spiritually bound than are physically bound. You see them when you walk down the street. They don't know what to do with their time. They're wasting their time doing foolish things. They're spiritually bound. So that's why this conference is here, so that people can be spiritually free. So the scripture for the conference has been 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom is something men have been fighting for since before the civil rights movement of the 1950s. And before there was slavery in this nation, even before this nation was established. In fact, this nation was established because men wanted to be free. They wanted to be free to express themselves, free to worship God, free from being taxed by the British. They just wanted to be free. Freedom is something that can be used for good or it can be used for bad, depending on whose hands it's in. That's why we must make sure that we use our freedom the right way. For people that abuse freedom, they build prisons. There are some people you just don't want walking around the street. Freedom can be used for good or it can be used for bad, depending on whose hands it's in. If you don't believe me, go and ask the people who were affected by the shootings in Washington, D.C. If you don't believe me, go and ask the people who were affected by the shootings in Kenya. If you don't believe me, go and ask the Christians that are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Freedom in the wrong hands can be a dangerous thing. Too much freedom for a baby can cause it to get hurt when it doesn't know what's bad for it. Too much freedom for a young lady who wants to hang out all night and go to the club can be bad for her when she doesn't know what she should be doing. Too much freedom for the young man who wants to hang out with the gangs on the street corner can be bad for him if he's going to be wasting his time that way. Freedom in the wrong hands can be a dangerous thing. But when a person has the Spirit of God and they have the character of God, then freedom can be used to do some amazing things. And each and every one of us have been given a certain amount of freedom. And it's up to us what we'll do with it. They call America the land of the free. And though many people are out walking the streets physically free, many of them are spiritually bound. So it's important that we make good use of the freedom that God has given us and that we use it to let God use us to free others. So I want to talk to you tonight briefly about how to keep your freedom. How to keep your freedom. The first thing I want you to know you need to do if you want to keep your freedom is you need to obey the law. You got to obey the law if you want to keep your freedom. I was reading a story about a guy named Rusty Woomer who had killed some people, and they had put him in prison. He was on death row, and he really didn't care about his life, and he was just laying there in the cell when this guy who started doing prison ministry seen him, and the man, his cell was filthy, and it was stinking, and roaches were crawling on him, and he hardly even responded when the man talked to him, and he told him, he said, say the name of Jesus. He says, say the name of Jesus, and finally, Rusty got it out, and he said, do you want to give your life to God? And Rusty gave his life to God. And the man would do prison ministry on Fridays. And then finally he came back to see Rusty like the next Friday. And Rusty's cell was clean. It smelled like it had just been washed. And Rusty was there with a pleasant look on his face. And he had been a changed man. God had changed his life. God had spiritually freed him. Now he was still physically bound, but he was spiritually free. If I had to choose, I would choose to be spiritually free. But we want you all to be totally free. Not physically bound, not spiritually bound, totally free. So some things you need to do to keep your freedom is you need to be obedient. You need to have obedience to the word of God. Now the word obedience is an interesting word because in the middle of the word obedience, there's this little word that's spelled D-I-E. Die. And if you're going to obey the word of God, you're going to have to die to self. In fact, Paul said, I die daily. You know, that means there's going to be some things you might want to do that you got to say, no, I'm not going to do that. When that ex calls you up saying, how you been? You want to come over? You got to tell them, that's it. That's the answer. No. When your buddies call you up, saying, hey, man, let's go. I got these ladies, and let's go kick it, and let's go get some drink, and let's go do it. Let's go party. You need to tell them no. When somebody starts getting on your nerves and you feel like knocking them upside your head, you got to tell yourself no. You see, you got to die daily if you're going to be obedient to the word of God. It's called delayed gratification. If you want what God has for you, you just gotta wait. You can't always take it right now. It's delayed gratification. That means you'll get it later. So there's some things you might want right now, but God may tell you, no, not right now. So you just need to wait. But when he gives it to you, it's gonna be better than what you would have got if you just would have did it your way. So you gotta be obedient. You gotta die to self. The prophet Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. You see, God would rather you just do what he tells you to do than go and do what you want to do and come try to make it up later. Because you don't know what's going to be the result of you doing what it is you want to do when you want to do it. So obedience is better than sacrifice. When you disobey the word of God, you miss out on what God has for you. And you lose some of the good things God wants you to have. For example, God said, don't lie. So if you lie, then you lose people's trust. God said, honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you and you live a long life. But if you don't do that, then you lose that benefit of living a long life that goes good for you. If you break the commandment of putting anything before God, then you become a slave to what you put before God. We're talking about freedom, right? Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. The first of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. So God is letting them know what he already did for them. He brought them out of the place of slavery. He said, out of the land of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me. Why did God tell them that? Because he knows if they put anything before him, they're going to become a slave to that thing. Even the apostle Paul said, he said, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So we should be slaves to obedience because that leads to righteousness, that leads to right living, that leads to being in right standing with God, slaves to obedience. So there's three things I want you to know about obedience. Obedience to the word of God always results in blessings. Obedience to the word of God always results in blessings. How many of you want to be blessed? It's simple. God didn't make it complicated. Just obey him. Just obey his word. Deuteronomy 6 verse 3 says, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Obey me so that it'll go well with you. I'm not telling you these commandments just so because I want to hold you back from anything. I want you to get blessed. I want you to be prosperous. I want you to have a good long life. That's why I'm telling you these things. It's not because I'm trying to cheat you out of having a good time. It's because I want what's best for you. There's a story about a man that had an experience with the Lord, and the Lord told him to push this rock that was outside of his place. So day after day, he would go out there and he would push on the rock and push on the rock. And the rock would never even budge. So after years went by, he started getting discouraged. And then here came the devil right on top of it, trying to discourage him more, trying to make him think he's been wasting his time. So before he finally gave up, he took it to the Lord in prayer. And he said, Lord, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even been able to budge that rock. What is wrong? Why am I failing? The Lord responded compassionately, my friend, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed, but is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled, your back sinewy and brown, your hands are calloused from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock, but your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my friend, will now move the rock. You see, we may not always know why God is telling us to do something, but it's important that we're obedient because God knows what he's doing and he knows what's best for us. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26 through 27 says, but they were disobedient and rebelled against me. They put your law behind their backs. They killed your prophets who admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies, so you handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. So what happened here is God's people were disobedient to him. And as a result of being disobedient, they became captive to their enemies. And that's what happens when you disobey God. You become a slave to what it is you obey. So make sure you keep God first in your life. Never put anything before him. So it is important that we crucify the flesh daily, because the flesh will want us to do some things that the Spirit does not want us to do. But God has given us a free will, and the choice is ours. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says, for I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What Paul was basically saying is that my flesh is corrupt. You see, all of us have inherited this thing called a sin nature. I think I heard a sister Eunice call it the Eve gene. All of us have inherited this thing, and it is corrupt. It makes us want to do things we shouldn't do. It makes us want to do things we know we shouldn't do. And so we have to crucify the flesh daily. We have to die daily. And as long as we have this flesh, we have the ability to sin. But God has given us a free will, and the choice is ours. So it's important that we're obedient. If we want to stay free, we got to be obedient to the word of God. The next thing I want you to know is if you want to stay free, you need to pray. If you want to stay free, you need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. God wants to talk to you. 24/7, he's willing. He's there. You'll never get a busy sound. He's not going to be too busy for you. God wants to talk to you. Isaiah chapter 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God said, come now, let's reason together. He's willing to walk down the street with you and have a conversation. But do you have the time to walk down the street with God? I'd rather walk down the street with him than anyone else, especially with all that's going on in our streets today. In Genesis chapter 5, there is a story of a man who used to walk and talk with God, and God took him. His name was Enoch. God enjoyed conversations with him so much, God said, forget about it. God just didn't even make him go through death. He just took him. And the same God that took him can deliver us out of any situation that we may face in our lives. The Bible says that Jesus prayed all night. So if Jesus prayed all night and Jesus was without sin, now everybody in here sinned before. So if Jesus prayed all night, you know we need to pray. So let's make sure we're praying without ceasing. Romans chapter 1 verse 9 says, God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by telling others the good news about his son. So Paul was saying he prays day and night. Paul, the man of God, who wrote more than half of the books in the New Testament. Paul, who went around preaching around Asia and traveling, doing missionary journeys. Paul, the man of God we read about in the Bible, he prayed day and night. If Paul needed to pray, then we need to pray too. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. So Daniel prayed three times a day. How many times a day do we pray? We should be praying without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we got to stay on our knees on our bedside all day and all night. Just as you go through your day, God should be involved in everything you do. Every situation you face that you need help with, you can talk to God about it. He's there. Pray without ceasing. God wants to talk to you. I was reading about two sailors who had got shipwrecked. And what happened was, after they got shipwrecked, one was a Christian and the other one was a foul-mouthed sailor. He just used dirty language a lot. And when they were in the water, the foul-mouthed sailor started praying. And eventually they seen a ship coming and they got rescued. But not long after they got rescued, that foul-mouthed sailor went back to talking the way he had been talking before. You see, don't be like that sailor. Pray without ceasing. Don't only talk to God when you need something. Have a relationship with him. Get to know him better. Be intimate. Be personal. God wants to talk to you. A few things I want you to know about prayer. The first thing I want you to know is prayer is an act of worship. Prayer is an act of worship. Worship means to greatly love. When you're praying, you're showing God that you greatly love him. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38 says, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. It says she never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. When you pray and when you fast, you're worshiping God. So let God know that you greatly love him by praying and fasting. The next thing I want you to know about prayer is that when you pray, God moves on your behalf. When you pray, God moves on your behalf. I was reading the story about a pastor that was pastoring in the Chicago area during the 1980s, and there was a gang that had dominated the area where he was pastoring. And so what they did was they created a prayer patrol of 3 or 4 teams of 2 men each. And these were men with street savvy, men who knew the language and were not easily intimidated when they went out to the streets. Normally, when a gang hangs out on a corner, nobody goes near them. Once a young man puts on the colors, the only adult that may ever speak to him again is a police detective. With the gang watching every car, keeping an eye out for drive-bys, our prayer patrols would slow down and find a place to park. So they would slow down as they would go through these gang-infested areas. Then the patrol would do the unheard of, walk right up and start talking to the gang. I'm Al, this is Moses, and we're from Armitage Baptist. We're the prayer patrol. How you doing? Is there anything we can pray about with you? Baby sick? Brother in jail? Can we pray for you? These patrolmen then put their hands on the shoulders of these lost kids and prayed for them. In time, the gangs got to know and respect our prayer patrols. The OAs, that was the name of the gang, had called our block their headquarters for 20 years. Today, the OAs are gone. The gang was overcame by the power of prayer. You see, when you pray, God moves on your behalf. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. When you pray, God moves on your behalf. The next thing I want you to know is that prayer is very important. Prayer is very important. If Jesus prayed all night, then it's important that we pray. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us, Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. You see, when you go before God, you know how your computer gets a download? That's what you can be getting from God. God can be alerting you to stuff that's going to happen throughout the day. God can be telling you what steps he wants you to take. But if you don't talk to God and you just go do things all on your own, then you can walk into some stuff that you don't want to be in the middle of. This is what the great scientist Sir Isaac Newton said. He said that he could take his telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space. Then he added, But when I lay it aside, go into my room, shut the door, and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. You see, the brilliant scientist Sir Isaac Newton realized the importance of prayer. Prayer's an important thing. So there's a few things I want you to know that Jesus wants us to be praying about. And then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Marquise here in just a moment. A few things I want you to know Jesus wants us to be praying about. The first thing, he wants us to be praying for those who curse us. Jesus wants us to pray for those who curse us, and he wants us to pray for those who persecute us. Luke chapter 6, verse 28, pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Do you know that we should be praying for the people in Afghanistan who want to kill Christians? Do you know we should be praying for the people who committed this horrible crime in Kenya and shot the Christians there? We should be praying for these people. Because the Christians have gone on to their final reward. They've gone on to something far better than this earth can offer us. But those people, the destiny that awaits them, none of us would want anyone to go there if we really realize the full extent of what hell is like. So we should be praying for the people who don't like Christians. The next thing I want you to know that we should be praying for is we should be praying for God to send more workers for his fields. We should be praying for God to send more workers for his fields. Matthew 9:38. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his fields. We need to ask God to send more workers. There's a lot of work to do. I'm not going to be able to reach everybody on my own. Marquise is not going to be able to reach everybody on his own. Now, God can use us to have a great impact in this earth. He can use us to touch everybody. But we can get a lot more done if we work together. Amen. Amen. So, pray. Pray. If you want to stay free, make sure you're obedient and make sure you pray. And the last thing I want you to know you should do if you want to stay free is make sure you keep praising God. Make sure you keep praising God. Let's go over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we'll begin reading at about verse 21. Acts 16, verse 21. Marquise will probably, he may put it up there. Okay. All right. So let me just give you a brief explanation of what happened, and then I'll pick up reading here. What happened was Paul was going to the place of prayer, and him and the people that were with him were going to the place of prayer, and there was a woman who had an evil spirit, and she was fortune-telling for her masters to make them money. And Paul got annoyed by the spirit. He turned around. He rebuked the spirit in her, and the spirit came out. And then her masters got upset because their hopes of making money was gone, basically. All right. So let's pick it up at verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. So what Paul and Silas did was they let the Lord use them to make this woman spiritually free. So God used them to make this woman spiritually free, but now they're physically bound. And you know, freedom has a price. Freedom has a price. It goes on and says, they brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So now they're in prison. They helped one lady get free spiritually. Now they're physically bound. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. Now, this is an interesting story because it lets us know that they were in prison praying and praising God. What are we talking about? If you want to stay free, you need to be obedient to the word of God. You need to pray and you need to praise God. So they were in prison praying and praising God. And one preacher said that it starts sounding so good that God just started tapping his foot. And the prison starts shaking. And the doors flew open. And the chains came off. You see, when you pray and praise God, that's how you'll keep your freedom. We got to be obedient. We got to pray. And we got to praise God. Not only were Paul and Silas freed, but all the other prisoners, their doors flew open. Their chains flew off. You see, your prayer and your praise affects others. So that's why you just got to be faithful. Even if God has you pushing that rock all those years and you don't see the results you want, you just got to keep on pushing, because God knows what the result will be. God knows why he told you to do it. So if you want to stay free, make sure you're obedient to the word of God. Make sure you keep on praying, and make sure you keep praising God. If you receive the word, give God a hand of praise. Amen. 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 Now, if you're here tonight, I'm pretty sure that Pastor Marquise will give you the opportunity to be freed from whatever may have you bound. You know, you might be here tonight and you may not know Jesus Christ. That's the first step to getting free. You can't stay free until you get free. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, make sure you don't leave this place without accepting him as your Lord and Savior. All right, may God continue to bless you. Pastor Marquise, turn the service back over.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.